In Matthew's Gospel today, chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, in a message inspired by a rune speaking about food, Jesus feeds the 5,000, Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God of love, the miracle that you can perform if we will but hear your voice, if we will but have faith. As we examine, Lord, this feeding of the 5,000, we pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would minister to us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one night, a woman named Anna Ruth was cat-sitting her daughter's feline. And somehow the cat managed to escape outside. And when it failed to return the following morning, she found the cat clinging to a branch about 30 feet up in a spindly tree. Unable to lure the cat down, she called the fire department and asked for help getting the cat out of the tree. "We don't do that anymore," the dispatcher said. And when Anna Ruth persisted, the dispatcher was polite but firm. "The cat will come down when it gets hungry enough." "How do you know that?" asked Anna Ruth. "Have you ever seen a cat skeleton in a tree?" the dispatcher said. 2 hours later, the cat was back looking for breakfast. "Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen a skeleton of a cat in a tree either. Cats must do pretty well fending for themselves. You know, I wish that it was so easy for humans who are hungry to obtain food as it is for the felines, especially those humans in underdeveloped countries ravaged by drought, or those where cruel dictators withhold food from those who oppose their regimes. This scourge of hunger is an ancient one. It's a terrible thing when you can't get enough food to feed your family. Pastor Bill Hybels, in his book titled The Power of a Whisper, Hearing God, Having the Guts to Respond, tells of watching a short documentary about a reporter who is studying the effects of hunger on the poor. During the creation of the film, the reporter interviewed a man who had lived with pervasive hunger his entire life. And after hearing the man's story, the reporter decided to do something quite brave. The reporter tried for 30 full days to eat exactly what the impoverished man ate, and no more. And he made an honest effort to do this. However, by day 21, he could do it no longer. The reporter was so dizzy that he nearly fainted, and so lethargic that his mind all but shut down. His body began wasting away until finally he said, "I'm done." Experts tell us that hunger of that kind does tragic things to the human body. You know, he who has bread, a Byzantine proverb says, has many problems. He who lacks bread has only one problem. And that, of course, is to obtain food. So here we are.
We're looking at a familiar passage of Scripture, the feeding of the 5,000. Actually, this story should probably be relabeled the feeding of the 10,000, since the original number did not count the women and children, as the Scripture says. Anyway, it is an enormous group of people. Now, let's set the stage. What happens just before this occurs? John the Baptist is killed. We find that in the verses preceding. If you look there in chapter 14, verse 1, we find that he was prompted and said, "Give me on a platter the head of John the Baptist." And so his head was brought on a platter to the girl, who carried it to her mother, and John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. So Jesus just hears about this horrendous beheading of John the Baptist. And it is right after this that the miracle of feeding the 5,000 happens. And it is a miracle in more than just the way of the feeding that we look. Now, Jesus wanted to be alone after the death of his friend. Now, he knew, just like he knew with Lazarus, that he would be reunited with him in heaven. But he just got news that caused him pain. Someone who was close to him had died. Sometimes we miss that part of the story. Jesus did not want to minister. He wanted to get away. He not only wanted to get away to another place and another area, he wanted to get to a solitary place. He wanted to have some time to himself to grieve alone. And, you know, they were cousins. It's not unreasonable to think this. You know, all of us have grieved for someone. So you understand that there comes a time in that grieving process where you just need to be alone. It's great to have people comfort you. It's great to have people support you. But there is part of the time in the grieving process where you want to be in a solitary place and grieve. You know, Jesus had great affection for John. Jesus needed to grieve. Understand this. He needed to grieve. This prefaces what is next to happen. The crowds following him would not let him grieve. He withdraws, verse 13, to a boat privately to a solitary place. And what do the crowds do? Those same crowds who knew that John the Baptist had been killed horrifically, those same crowds who knew that John was related to Jesus and he might need a little bit of time to himself to grieve this horrible situation, what do they do? Hearing of this, 13b, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Now, I don't know about you, but part of what I would like to do, like Robin asked us for prayer in her response to Andy, I'm telling you right now, the people should have known. I mean, come on. I need to grieve. I need to grieve. This terrible thing just happened. I'm trying to escape by boat. They're scurrying around. They don't have boats, but they sure are making their way to where he was going to be. And he doesn't even get to the solitary place. He's in the boat on his way. He's on the journey to the solitary place. And guess what happens when he gets there? The Bible says, when Jesus landed, not 5 minutes later, not a day later, As soon as he landed, he saw a large crowd. So what did he do? Get lost. I need some time. See you later. My solitary place time is here. I need my space. Get out of here. In the night. No. No. That is not what he did, and this is really important for us to see. The response of Jesus to people who had need. Arun spoke to us about it before. They had a spiritual need. Their physical need, that's the title of this ministry and this message, comes later. But the real deal here in the beginning is Jesus trying to get away. Jesus having every right to tell them to get lost. Jesus having every reasonable response to be, you know, let's just avoid the situation. But he sees this large crowd, and look at what the Bible says. He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. He felt their hurts. And the Bible says he healed their sick. He healed their sick. So, you know, can you imagine how exhausting that was for the master? Healing their sick was not something he did with the wave of his hand. Let's figure that out. How is this sick healing going to happen? How did it always happen? One at a time. Now, long line going out, person after person, and think about the time it would take. 5,000 were there to eat the loaves and fishes. 10,000 were there to have it. Think about 1,000 people that might want to be healed. One by one, they come to him. One by one, they ask him for the healing. It's taken a lot out of him. It was not just work. It was hard work. Grieving Jesus. Needs some time to himself, has compassion on a large crowd, and begins to work, doing the work of ministry, healing their sick. They didn't have doctors in their houses, and they came. They came in hope of a healing miracle. So there he is, Jesus is there. He wants to grieve, but all day long, he seeks to heal and make whole the great multitude that had come to him. And so, okay, this happens all day long. He gets on the shore. He has worked really hard. And the disciples, I think, were exhausted just by watching him work. And they had to organize things and do all that stuff. So, verse 15, evening approaches and the disciples came to him and said, they interrupted the crowd. Hey, Jesus. Gotta talk. We gotta talk. We want to make you aware of something that you might not have realized. You might not have realized there's some big problem that we've got here. As though Jesus didn't know. But they said, we got a problem, we gotta resolve this, so they tried to solve it. They said, this is a remote place. So, this is out in the middle of nowhere. Not right next to a village where it would be easy for them to get something to eat. It is a remote place. Key. Very important for us to see that. And it's getting late. So the disciples say, hey, this is a remote place. It's getting late. Stop. You've worked hard enough. We got to resolve this issue. Send these crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. I mean, we've got 10,000 people here. They're going to get hungry. Maybe they already are hungry. Nobody even talks about the disciples and Jesus might be hungry as well, since they talk about how much they've got to feed the group. Five loaves and two fishes. I mean, that, come on, that's Jesus, I think, could have eaten a whole fish. So they've got these five loaves and two fishes. Their answer, their solution is, send these crowds away. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. They do not need to go away. Key word here, need. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. This is a command of Jesus to his disciples. You give them something to eat. And at the end of the day, the Bible is speaking to you and to me in this day in which we live, where people need the spiritual food of the gospel that comes through compassion, that we want to share with them, even though we have our own burdens, even though we have our own issues, even though we do not have time for this. Jesus asks us to have compassion. He asks us to care for the least of these. And he commands his disciples, you give them something to eat. He commands us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. A great opportunity coming up this next week in Bible school. Pray that God would bless the ministry. Lucy and I have been away for a while. If you get a call saying, hey, we're short a little bit, I hope that you'll prayerfully consider it. While we wish that we would have been here, everyone, we needed to have all those 20 days away. But over the course of this week, everything needs to come together. So we've been handing out flyers. I don't think if there's going to be a problem getting the kids here. But we might need your help. So if you hadn't thought about it before and you said, well, the pastor didn't ask me, you might get a call. But the compassion that comes is the compassion that lets the most important things go because the people are more important. Their needs are more important. And so he tells them, you give them something to eat. And so this is an astounding answer that Jesus gives them. And so they give him the reality. It's like for the second time in a row, they're not understanding. This is Jesus. Hello. Hey, we need to send them away. It's getting late, Jesus. Don't you realize? There's a lot of people here. It's going to take them a while to get something to eat. Let them go. Stop working. Jesus is like, no, I'm going to keep working. You get them something to eat. And they're like, okay, Jesus, we're looking around. We're not seeing anything where we can get it. And even if we saw Rockland Bakery right next door, we couldn't afford to buy all the bread in the store. So they said, hey, Jesus, here's what we got. We've got five loaves and two fishes. That's it. That's what we've got. And do you know what Jesus says? He says in his word another command that he commands us as well. He says, bring them here to me. Three commands, Jesus, red letters. They do not need to go away, period. End of story, no debate. You give them something to eat, demand, command, no debate. Number three, take the loaves and the fishes, bring them to me. There is no debate. There is no long answer from Jesus. Simple and direct. And then he directs the people to sit on the grass. He takes the loaves and the fish, looks up into heaven, gives thanks, breaks the loaves. And the rest, as the Bible says, is an amazing miracle. 12 basketfuls of broken pieces are left over. Now, this is an amazing story, but I'm going to tell you that one of the things that you may have missed as you've heard so many sermons on this feeding of the 5,000 is a focus on these words and this issue. Jesus had compassion on them. As I said before, it was not necessarily fair. Oh, it's not fair. I just did all this work and they're following me and John the Baptist got killed and it's not fair. Why, God? Why did they follow me? None of those responses. His response is a heart of love. His response is compassion, caring about them, feeling their hurt, feeling their need, but he did not solve the problem on his own. He takes the loaves, he takes the fishes, and what does he do? He doesn't say, Lord, what have you done? You only gave me 5 loaves and 2 fish. No. The first thing he does is he thanks God for what he's got. We make a mistake, friends, when we don't thank God for what we've got. Thank you, God, for what I've got. Usually we're right to God. I fell and I hurt. Help. No. Thank God for what you got. Thank you that I've got a great family that's going to help me through this. Thank you that I didn't hit my head and have my brain all messed up. Thank you, thank you, thank you before you get to, okay, after the thanks, what does he do? He gives thanks, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. A miracle is unfolding right there. The disciples weren't doing anything special other than obeying. And the reality is that miracles can happen in this church and in this community and in this nation if we will have compassion and if we will obey. Look at the miracle here. He was filled with compassion. And if you're going to walk in the steps of the Master, you're going to have compassion as well. You know, God loves you. He loves people in our community that do not know him as Lord and Savior. And he speaks from his word. Clearly, directly, specifically, how we respond, listening to him, what our priorities should be, and then understanding that it's not about us. It's about thanking God for what we have and then knowing that he will always supply our needs. There were 10,000 people that needed something to eat. He supplied all their needs and then even more. Some wants got happened along the way. God wants to use you. And he is calling every one of you to have compassion. And once you have compassion, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your grieving or its equivalent, to do the work of ministry that Christ has called you to do. These people are sheep without a shepherd. They need the healing that a word from you can bring. Be Jesus to them. Do to them what Jesus would do. Be guided by his love, be guided by his grace, be guided by his compassion.
Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, for its reality, for its power. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us here and now, but as we go from this place to live out this truth, to be like Jesus, for you've shown us what you would do, you showed us what you did. Help us as we enter into this time of communion to once again understand what you did for us, and then ask what our response will be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Rune and Wayne if they would come forward. Jesus died on the cross not because it was easy. He died on the cross because of love. He died on the cross because of his compassion on us. As we examine this table and as we examine the compassion that Christ had on us, we have to examine our own lives and ask if we are thankful and ask if we are showing compassion to others. This table reminds us of the compassion of Christ. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also pass on to you, that on the night our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. Arun, would you give thanks for the bread which represents Christ's body, given for us?"
Grace of God, our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to take part in this table. Thank you, Lord, for reminding Lord through your word that you had compassion before you fed those 5,000 people with the bread, broke it, and gave thanks. In the same way, Lord, before you were betrayed, you took the bread, broke it, and the bread which we take part right now, which represents your body, was bruised for us, and the stripes that you took for our healing. Thank you, Lord, for your greatest sacrifice that you have done on the cross for our sake. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. To us and says, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in memory of me." Let's eat it together.
After supper, Jesus took the cup and again gave thanks. Wayne, would you give thanks for the cup which represents Christ's blood shed for us?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus, who died on that cross for our sins, whose blood was shed for us, Lord. And now, as we take this blood, let us, this cup that represents the blood, let it be put into us, knowing what he has done for us that we can also do for others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Testament in my blood. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do whenever you drink it in memory of me. Let's drink it together. Now let's stand together, sing our closing hymn, 436. 436.